Parsha Shlach has in it some of the most interesting and delicate and difficult issues that Klal Yisrael encountered when they were traveling in the desert, Eretz Yisrael. Torah tells us that the Jews came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said to him, "We want you to send people to investigate, to check out Eretz Yisrael before we go there, to see exactly what it's about, can we, all the different things." And we're told that this was a terrible, terrible mistake. This was a display of lack of faith and trust in Hashem. That Hashem said, go. And Hashem said, this is the place. And they wanted specifically to send messengers, shlichim. What's this all about? And how do we relate to this? Rab Nosson Zal in Likutei Halachos, in Choshen Mishpat, at the end of the first volume, Hilchas Shluchin, there's a chapter in Shulchan Aruch which discusses the laws that pertain to a messenger. When a person sends a messenger on a mission, what are the obligations and responsibilities of the messenger? What are the obligations and responsibilities of the one who sends them? How does it work legally? And Rab Nosson Zal explains it from a spiritual point, that there's Hashem, the Creator, and Hashem has shlichim, Hashem has messengers. The angels of Hashem are referred to as Hashem's messengers, shlichim. An angel is spiritual. A person would say, how big a difference is there between a human being and Hashem? Our perception of Hashem is, ein loy demus haguf ve'ein loy guf. Hashem has no body, there's nothing whatsoever physical about Hashem. Whereas a human being consists of a combination of spiritual and physical. But when we talk about an angel, there's nothing physical about an angel either. So how big a difference could there be between an angel and Hashem? And what exactly is the difference? Hashem created everything and controls everything through his hashgacha prati, through the direct supervision of Hashem. The Torah says, Tomid Einei Hashem Alekecha Bo, that the eyes of Hashem are always focused on Eretz Yisrael. The eyes of Hashem are focused on the entire world, but especially when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, the Torah makes a point of emphasizing that the eyes of Hashem are always upon it. What does that mean? How does that translate into anything practical for us? It means that every single detail and every single aspect of what goes on in Eretz Yisrael and related to Eretz Yisrael is under the direct supervision of Hashem. No intermediaries, no assistance. Hashem takes lahavdil, you have a businessman who has several different businesses. He's got 20 different businesses, big businessman. And he's got different people that manage his different businesses. But everybody knows, usually, he's got one business that's his baby, that he doesn't want anybody else. I'll handle this one. This one I'm dealing with. The managers are all cute and fine. They can run the other ones and report to me directly, and he's controlling those also. But there's one that's his baby that he doesn't want anybody else interfering. This is my baby. I don't need any assistance for this. That's how Hashem defines Eretz Yisrael. Tomid Einei Hashem Alekecha Bo. The eyes of Hashem are upon it. And this is where the Jews went wrong in suggesting that we're going to send shlichim, we're going to send messengers to scout out the land, to see what are they going to see? They're going to analyze Eretz Yisrael from a point of teva, from a natural standpoint. What's possible? What's impossible? Is it possible for us to take over this land, or is it impossible? This is based on teva, nature. We're told that teva is associated with angels. It's brought that the word hateva, which means nature, is bigimatria Elokim, which is one of the names of Hashem, Elokim, which is a name that's used to represent angels. We know the Torah tells us in Parshas Vayetze that Yaakov Avinu had a vision where he saw a ladder that went from earth up to heaven, and the pasuk says, "Vehine malachei Elokim oilim v'yordim boi," and heavenly angels were going up and down this ladder. So the word Elokim is used sometimes to refer to an angel. And the word Elokim is also bigimatria hateva, nature. The mistake that they made thousands of years ago is the same mistake that we make today, that many people make today. We're in a physical world, and we see things around. We've been, the secular world and the secular culture has infiltrated even into the religious world, where many, many religious people have great respect for nature. Nature, natural phenomenon, the laws of nature, what's natural, what's possible and impossible, the definitions of possible and impossible. And Rav Nosson Zal says this is the difference between hashgacha proti, versus teva. This is the difference between a person really believing that the world was created and exists based on the rotzon of Hashem, the will of Hashem, that everything is controlled totally by the will of Hashem. There are times when lahavdil, like that chairman of the board we mentioned earlier, who's involved in many businesses, there are times when he designates managers to manage some of his businesses, but we know any real chairman, any real leader, even those businesses that he has other people managing for him, he's not closing his eyes to them at all. He's watching them carefully also. He's supervising. He's aware and in control of all of those businesses. And any point in time he wants, he has left himself, he set things up in such a way that he can pull the plug on any of those businesses anytime he wants. But then he has his baby, we said, where there he makes it even clearer, where it's clear and obvious to everybody that I'll handle this one personally. And that's the attitude that Hashem displays regarding Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the mistake that these people made in wanting to designate, send messengers. What kind of messengers? Angels, holy people, people on a very high level. The Arizal says that the Meraglim, the spies that were sent, were on a higher level than Eretz Yisrael. Their level of holiness was superior to that of Eretz Yisrael. And yet still Hashem left room for error. They could make a mistake. If they don't know when to step aside, where teva terminates and hashgacha takes over completely, they didn't recognize that. This is what resulted in this terrible tragedy. This is what resulted in the Beis Hamikdash being destroyed. Tisha B'Av, they came back. What is the Beis Hamikdash? The Beis Hamikdash is a center of miracles. The Mishnah in Perkei Avos defines, in speaking about the Beis Hamikdash, says there were 10 miracles that took place on a constant basis in the Beis Hamikdash. Why? What does that teach us about holiness? It teaches us that when we talk, the Mishnah says, the first Mishnah in Masechta Kelim tells us that there's 10 levels of holiness in the world. Level 1 is Eretz Yisrael. The ground level, the beginning of holiness is Eretz Yisrael, which means 99.9% of the world is outside the ballpark of holiness. It is not holy. The United States, Italy, all these different places are not holy. Rabbeinu Zal tells us in Likut Imran that when the Jews settle in countries outside of Eretz Yisrael, and they study Torah there, and they daven, they do mitzvahs, they have the ability to attach those places to Eretz Yisrael, to connect those places to Eretz Yisrael, that those places should take on a flavor of Eretz Yisrael. It's not Eretz Yisrael. It's not Eretz Yisrael yet. And chas shalom, a person who mistakenly thinks it is, a person who denies the difference between Eretz Yisrael and the other lands, is denying the difference between the Jewish people and other nations. They're denying the whole basis of Yiddishkeit, of Judaism. We know there's a concept in different levels of observance of Judaism. We know that Orthodox observant Jews, many of them eat chicken soup on Shabbos. You know, there's a concept that there are people who don't observe the laws of the Torah. They eat non-kosher, non-kosher meat, non-kosher foods, but they know to have chicken soup on Shabbos, even if it's from a non-kosher chicken that was cooked on Shabbos. It's chicken flavored. It's traditional. It's that kind of thing. It looks almost the same, but it's totally different. It's the complete opposite to the other thing. This was the mistake that was made here. And Rav Nosson Zal gives us another example of this in Likutei Halachos, where he tells us that when Hashem was considering creating man or not creating man, the Gemara tells us that he put this up for discussion among the angels, to have the angels discuss, to see what their opinion is on the issue. And the Gemara tells us that the angels of truth said, "Don't do it, Hashem, you'll be sorry. Man is false, man is going to commit sin, man is full of sheker, machloikas, etc." The Gemara tells us that in the end, Hashem took the angels of truth and threw them to the ground, implying he's disqualifying them, he's discarding their opinion. So the angels came back and said, "Hashem, your seal, your motto, which is truth, you're throwing on the ground, you're disqualifying, you're discarding." So the Gemara says, Hashem said, "You're right." He picked them up off the ground. And the Gemara brings psukim to support this. Vatashlech emes orza, emes meyeretz titzmach. And there are many deep, beautiful explanations of that Gemara. Rav Nosson Zal in Likutei Halachos says, we're talking about angels of truth. The truth is to create man. The truth was, yes, to go ahead with the creation of man. Proof is, we see that's what Hashem did. So how could these angels of truth differ in opinion from Hashem and differ from what was accurate, what was the real truth? And Rav Nosson Zal explains, and this is so precious, so important for us, that even though they were angels, and even though the Torah calls them the angels of truth, their truth is not in the same league as the truth of Hashem. When we say Hashem Elokeichem Emes, the highest angel, the holiest angel, cannot compare in any way to Hashem. And even if it's labeled as truth, within truth, there are different levels of truth. The Torah calls them angels of truth because their arguments were right. They came up with 100% legitimate arguments based on their framework of knowledge, based on their visual ability to see the picture. That doesn't negate the fact that Hashem sees things that no angel could ever see, could ever hope to see. And Rav Nosson Zal tells us that tzaddikim, a human being, an angel, doesn't have free choice. An angel doesn't have to battle between good and bad, the concept of bechira. A human being who comes down to this physical, lowly world, the Olam HaGashmi, and has to deal with the battle of between good and bad. And if a Jew succeeds in fighting that battle and winning again and again and again and rising to the status of tzaddik, one who succeeds in defeating the angel, which angel? The angel, the evil inclination, the Yetzer Hara, that's also an angel. That's also a messenger of Hashem that's sent to oppose us, to tease us, to test us, to tempt us in every which way to see if we're going to go against Hashem. The tzaddikim who succeed in defeating that angel, the evil inclination, the level of truth that they achieve supersedes that of the angels. They can see more clearly what Hashem really wants than the angels. Just as in the examples that the Torah gives us, Hashem, when it came to the Jews receiving the Torah, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Jewish people to prepare themselves for 2 days to get ready to separate from their wives, to prepare for receiving the Torah on Har Sinai. The Gemara shows how Moshe Rabbeinu heard the words of Hashem and understood that even though on the surface Hashem seems to be saying 2 days, what he really wants is a 3-day separation, a 3-day preparation. And the Gemara says, Moshe was hoisif yomechod midaitoi. He added an additional day on his own that Hashem didn't tell him. And we're told that had the Jews not observed the 3 days, they would not have received the Torah. It was only because they had the benefit of Moshe Rabbeinu, a tzaddik, who was on such a level above the angels, a tzaddik who had the ability to know the truth of Hashem, what Hashem really wants, even when Hashem doesn't make it clear, when Hashem seems to be saying something else. That's how they were privileged, that in that zechus, we receive the Torah. Just like when the Torah tells us when the Jews worshipped the golden calf and did terrible things, and Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, step aside, let me destroy them completely, and I'll bring a nation forth from you. Any of us who would have heard those words, or an angel hearing those words, would have jumped out of the way in a second and let Hashem go ahead and destroy. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that even though it seemed perfectly clear what Hashem wants, that's not really what he wants. That's the truth. It says it in the Torah. I want to destroy them. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to interpret the word step aside, that Hashem was hinting to him. Hashem was giving him just a little bit that he needed, that a true tzaddik, who has no desire for personal glory whatsoever, if Moshe Rabbeinu had one drop of self-interest, this would have been the perfect opportunity. Hashem wipes out the Jews. Hashem said, I'll bring forth a nation from you. They'll all be B'nai Moshe. You'll be in charge. They'll all be your descendants. You'll be number one. Everyone will recognize that you're the greatest, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu heard that and said, that's not in my universe. That's not my agenda. No interest whatsoever in that, in anything about me. It's about Hashem and the Jewish people. And therefore, he was able to see into those words, step aside, that Hashem is implying that I have the ability and he wants me to try to fight this, to try to oppose Hashem, to block him from destroying the Jews. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu succeeded in doing again and again. And this is why the Torah defines Moshe Rabbeinu as Bechol Beis Hinem, on who Hashem says he's my most trustworthy shliach, messenger, servant. Because there's no iota of self-interest. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to negate himself totally, where it's brought that the word Moshe, Mem Shin Hei, is the letters Hashem. Hashem. Is Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem? Chas V'Shalom. Hashem is Hashem. But Moshe Rabbeinu was able to negate himself totally, where the light of Hashem shines through him without any additives. No additives whatsoever. No additives, no changes whatsoever. And this is the mistake that the Meraglim made, that if Moshe Rabbeinu said, he brought the word of Hashem saying, Eretz Yisrael is the place, we're going there, we're going to do it, to doubt that in any way meant doubting Hashem. To doubt that meant they were choosing Teva over Ashkocha Proti. They wanted to try to deal with Eretz Yisrael like you deal with any other country. And any country a person goes to, of course, before you move in a country, you do your homework, your research. They were denying that Eretz Yisrael is different from all other countries, that the Jewish people are different from all other nations. This is why this was considered so major a sin, a transgression, that brought such destruction upon us. Interesting, Rav Nosson Zal notes in Likutei Halachos, in that same halacha, Hilcha Shluchin Halacha Gimel, he says that the entire Torah is referred to as the eyes. We know there's a pasuk in Tehillim, Mitzvas Hashem Bara Me'ira Seinayim, that the commandments of Hashem are what created and what generate the light of the eyes. So the Torah is referred to as our eyes. Jewish leaders are called Einei Ha'eda, the eyes of the community, the eyes of the people. Because of the fact that by fulfilling the Torah, by studying the Torah and observing the Torah, we draw the eyes of Hashem upon us. We draw this direct supervision, which is not bound by any of the laws of nature, where Hashem has the option to override, that if it looks unnatural, impossible, that's Hashem's first name, middle name, and last name. Hashem can override nature anytime He chooses to. And this is why we find when the Torah speaks about us being careful not to go against Hashem, in the Kriya Shema it says, V'loy sasuru acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem. Don't turn away from Hashem by following your hearts and your eyes. Acharei einechem. There's a concept that people say, seeing is believing. Seeing is believing. That what I see, I believe. What I don't see, and they don't know that that's literally the antithesis of Judaism. Judaism says, the Torah teaches us, that believing is seeing. If you believe, you will see things that other people don't see, don't get to see. You will get to see things that go beyond the scope of what's natural, the norm of what people could see. And this is why when the Torah speaks about a person going against Hashem, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, V'hora be'enecho osisi, I did what was evil in your eyes, in the eyes of Hashem. Meaning again, this concept of denying the Hashgacha Prati, denying the direct supervision of Hashem, and thinking, I'm going to go by what I see and what I understand. Or by Aaron Oinon, it says, Ra be'enei Hashem. They were evil in the eyes of Hashem. What's the point of that? The point of that is showing us that this is what the whole Yiddishkeit is based on. This is the foundation of Yiddishkeit. The recognition, the realization that Hashem's eyes are what give life and what define what happens and what doesn't. The eyes of the angels or our eyes can play all kinds of tricks on us. A person can look at something and say, impossible. And how many of us know that we've encountered such situations where we thought something was impossible even in our own lives, and then someone went ahead and did it. They had willpower, they had determination, they went ahead and did what other people said couldn't be done, and they did it. How? Willpower, Ratzon, and faith. Faith in Hashem, and faith in ourselves, and faith in Tzadikim. And this was the mistake of the Meraglim. They didn't have enough faith in Hashem. They didn't have enough faith in Moshe Rabbeinu. They didn't have faith in themselves. They said that we felt like grasshoppers. Vaniyu beinenu kachagovim. We, in our own eyes, to ourselves, we felt like grasshoppers. V'chein hoyinu beineihem. And that's how we must have appeared to them. And Rav Nosson Zal says in Likutei Halachos that that's a message for every one of us. If a Jew doesn't know that he is part of the kingdom of Hashem, Mamleches Koyanim V'Goy Kodosh, and he is different, the laws that apply to the world don't necessarily apply to him. The laws of nature could be totally overridden when it comes to Klal Yisrael, the whole concept of miracle. To that degree, That's what defines the mistake of the Meraglim, and that's what defines our closeness to Hashem. It's this faith in Hashem, faith in Tzaddikim, and faith in ourselves. The person believing that if Hashem says to do this, then it means I can do it. And this is one of the things that all of us encounter many times when we have obstacles in difficulties in fulfilling a mitzvah, performing a mitzvah. If a person studies Torah properly, and if a person has the proper guidance of tzaddikim, of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they encounter something that looks impossible, then don't look. Close your eyes and jump. We know that when we recite Kriya Shema, when we declare our faith in Hashem, the first thing we do is we close our eyes. Why are you closing your eyes? Who are you hiding from? I'm closing my eyes to show that I know that what my eyes see are not the whole picture. What the tzaddikim, what Hashem sees, what the true tzaddikim see, that's the whole picture. And therefore, when certain things look to me impossible, if Hashem says, do it, and if the tzaddik says, you can do it, that this applies, we know that people can make a mistake. This is why we have a Shulchan Aruch. This is why we have rabbis to guide us, because even in the study of Torah, if a person tries to do what's beyond their ability, they try to do in the Torah, there are different levels. There's what Hashem expects from Moshe Rabbeinu. There's what Hashem expects from an ordinary person. The Gemara tells us that when it comes to certain sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash, a wealthy person brings an ox, a $3,000 an ox. A person who's on a lower level brings a lamb that costs $200. A person who has less means than that brings two pigeons that cost $2. And a person who can't afford that brings a handful of flour that cost 50 cents. And the Torah tells us that all of them are equal in the eyes of Hashem. They all achieve the same goal. Hashem gets the same satisfaction. His 50 cents is his $3,000. So a person needs the guidance of the Torah and the tzaddikim to know, where am I on this ladder? What does Hashem expect from me? Am I a $3,000 customer or am I a $200 customer? Once a person knows what Hashem wants from them, based on the study of Torah and the guidance of the true tzaddikim, if it looks impossible, don't look. Close your eyes and do it. We should be zeicher, but through the proper faith in Hashem and tzaddikim in ourselves, to be able to correct the mistake of the Meraglim, the mistake of Klal Yisrael, which took them away from Eretz Yisrael, which kept them out of Eretz Yisrael for 40 years. They were supposed to arrive there in 3 days. It took 40 years. And in that zechus, all of us should be zeicher to the full realization of Eretz Yisrael, to see the Hashgacha Proti of Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, with Klal Yisrael, with the coming of Moshiach, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, Me'erev Yameinu, Amen V'Amen.